From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, it is the 10th day of May 2012. This is the Closing Market Report. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about this morning's USDA report. What a big surprise on the ending stocks figure, not only for this year, but for next year. Dan Zwicker with CGB Enterprises will be here. We'll talk with Daryl Good, ag economist at the University of Illinois. I had a discussion with him this morning about those USDA reports. And Matt Bennett will help us look at the impact in the agricultural community and the cash grain markets. And it all happens right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Checking the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures in the wheat pit for the day finished a bit lower. The nearby soft red, the nearby soft red up 3.5 cents at $5.94 3/4. July at $6.25 and a quarter, up 1 1/4. And the September at $6.16 1/2, up 1 3/4 on the day. The hard red in Kansas City was down a half, or rather penny and a half, at $6.17 1/2. From the corn pit in Chicago, on USDA report day, $6.25 1/2. The settlement price down 15 3/4. July at $5.87 1/2, down 19 3/4 for the afternoon. And September at $5.13 1/2, down 13 1/2 cents. December futures, $5.07 1/4, down 9 1/2 cents. And the March contract in the corn pit at $5.19, down 8 3/4. May beans today, $14.52 1/4, down 24 1/2. July at $14.55 1/4, 25 higher. The 24 1/2 was higher as well. August contract, $14.41 3/4 in the bean pit at 25 1/2 cents higher. September at $13.87, up 24. And November beans at $13.59, up 25 1/2. January futures, $13.54 3/4, up 23 1/2 on the afternoon. And the May contract at $13.5, up 11 1/4. Bean meal at $4.23.90, up $9. Bean oil at $53.15, 89 cents higher for the day. Live cattle futures finished the nearby August at $1.18.60, down 32 1/2 cents. And the October at $1.23.37 1/2, and the live cattle 85 cents lower for the day. August feeders at $1.58.90, unchanged. And June lean hogs at $84.50, down 35 cents. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures trading at $96.97 a barrel, up 16 cents for the day. Ethanol at $2.11 9/10, that's a nickel lower. Natural gas at $2.48 1/10, down a rather up a penny and 6 cents. And heating oil, 2 1/10 cents lower at $2.97 8/10 cents diesel fuel there. Gold futures on the afternoon at $1,595.10 an ounce, up $1.40, and the U.S. dollar at 80.1, that's up 0.03. The CRB index at 294.59, down 2.4 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Sunny skies and a high of 71. Tonight, clear. Low of 45, and tomorrow sunny and a high of 77 degrees. By the time we get to Friday evening, mostly clear, low of 55. Saturday, a 30% chance of showers, some thunderstorms, partly sunny, a high near 74 with a southwest wind at 3 to 6. And Saturday night, a 30% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a low of 53 degrees. On Sunday, a 30% chance of showers continues, mostly cloudy, at a high of 70. Sunday night, partly cloudy and 51. Monday, sunny and 72. Monday night, cloudy and 54. Tuesday, sunny and 75. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy and a low of 55 degrees. On Wednesday, next week, mostly sunny and a high near 77 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast a bit later in the program. We'll talk with meteorologist Peter Levitt.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com. Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. Dan Zwicker with CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana, is on the phone line today to take a look at what happened in the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Dan. It was quite a busy day after the USDA reports this morning.
It sure was, and naturally, the volatility continues after USDA reports. It just seems like as soon as USDA releases a report, there's always a surprise or two in there from the trade point of view, and it always creates a lot of volatility. And of course, in this case, we had volatility on the upside on soybeans and volatility on the downside on corn.
Yeah, so USDA this morning changed things just a bit, and it did a lot of reconfiguration, I think, in the feed and residual number. That ended up increasing the ending stocks for this year, despite the fact that it looks like we're really short corn, at least in basis levels. They increased those by 50 million bushels to 851 million bushels for the carryout, and then you calculate that back in, and they increased feed and residual uses next year by 900 million bushels for usage, but we still end up with a 1.88 billion bushel carryout. And that's a big number. What do you think of those two sets of ending stocks figures?
Well, my guess is that both of them may be the loosest of the year. Of course, a lot of it depends upon how the weather pattern plays out, but I'm not convinced that we're going to see a lot of wheat feeding replace corn. I think there'll be some of that, but I think probably what USDA is counting on is some very early harvested corn to kind of be pulled into the marketing year. But we still got a long ways to go on that. But yeah, I think the 50 million increase in ending stocks versus expectations of a 50 million decline really, you know, stung the old crop corn market. I think all the stuff in new was pretty well anticipated. There was an awful lot of talk about a 66 bushel yield. Whether or not we get there or not, that remains to be seen. But as far as supply goes, I think that was pretty well priced into the market. But the shock and the bearishness of the old crop was just too much, and it just took the whole corn market down.
Well, given that, the corn market seemed to react pretty well this morning. I suppose that might have been pulled up in part by cash, and then soy complex rallied 24 cents on the day. Were you expecting on the open something more sharply lower than what really took place? I think it was down 6 or 7 cents at the open this morning.
Well, I think you got to keep in mind that we do have OTC, over-the-counter trading, and some of that was down 15 to 20 early. So all of the a lot of the panicness in the marketplace could have been spread off in over-the-counter trading. So when it when 9:30 came, a lot of the panicness was already priced into the market, and the market, opened at least not as low as what everybody was anticipating based upon some of the over-the-counter trading.
You've been in Louisiana for a couple of weeks now. Has your view of what's been taking place in the market changed at all from that vantage point?
No, not really. I mean, I think today's supply-demand reports is a perfect example why I'm a technician rather than a fundamentalist. And I think everybody's going to have a hard time scratching their head on USDA's supply-demand tables. But whatever the case, it is what it is. You could tell the last 4 to 5 weeks, this corn market, after we got a bullish March report, we had a big surge up. The market was not able to follow through on that. And it's just kind of been dripping ever since on the corn market, whereas the soybeans have been able to continue to move higher as the South American crop continues to decline and export interest continues to be active. And it's just one of those things where it's a short corn, long soybean market that has kind of been in place since middle December. That's going to continue. at least I think until the trade feels that it has bought some additional soybean acres. I mean, that's what the function of the soybean market is to do. Maybe pull a few corn acres in, but that's doubtful. I think farmers were pretty well had it in their head they were going to plant corn. And now they're in a situation where they're probably going to be looking at below $5 cash corn, and soybeans are going to be above the $13 mark, which is quite a different perspective from what I think they were thinking, 2 to 3 months ago.
And in the end, I guess we'll have to find out how many total acres are available, and we won't know that until June, and whether that expands or gets smaller. It looks like in a good growing season that it probably would get bigger and could handle both more corn and more soybean acres, right?
Well, that's what the trade is looking at when you have a drier type spring like we've had, but it hasn't been totally dry. I mean, some of the areas got off to a good start, but then we've had some heavy rains and some cooler temperatures, and we've had some stand issues in some places in the Corn Belt. So we're not complete on that, but we are going to have an awful early harvest, and those early harvests on wheat, so you could have a lot of early beans, early June double crop beans. And I think that's what the trade is also looking for, and is going to try to encourage that. And those early June beans will probably yield a whole lot better than the early July beans that are normally double crop beans. So when I look at it, stand back and look at it, my guess is that we're looking at, the tightest balance sheet in soybeans maybe for the year and the loosest balance sheet in corn for the year. So it's kind of hard to get both markets to go opposite direction for any kind of length of time, but that's been the case here at least recently.
Dan, thanks so much.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is at CGB Enterprises. He is in Mandeville, Louisiana, and joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on this Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It is Thursday, the 10th day of May, USDA Report Day. The WASDE numbers came out this morning from the World Agricultural Outlook Board. Daryl Good is here, ag economist from the University of Illinois, to discuss those numbers for soybeans and wheat. Daryl, not many surprises in the numbers.
I think not a lot of surprises and not much controversy in the projections that are being made. In the case of soybeans, we're looking at an even smaller South American crop this year, and that's going to support U.S. export demand for this year and into next year, and pretty much sets the stage for continuation of very tight stocks of soybeans and I think historically high prices for the foreseeable future. In the case of wheat, what you're seeing is projections of some rebalancing smaller crops outside of the United States, primarily in that area, the former Soviet Union, and a larger U.S. crop that should point to somewhat larger exports of U.S. wheat and fairly moderate prices of wheat. So that's kind of the difference compared to last year, is that rebalancing of production between the U.S. and the rest of the world.
And then there's the curiosity that has been and apparently continues to be the corn numbers from USDA.
Certainly the corn numbers are generating all the conversation of both on the projections about consumption and I think to some extent also about projected crop size for 2012. On the consumption side, continue to be some inconsistent numbers in terms of feed and residual use. USDA did lower the projection for this year again today by 50 million bushels. That puts feed use at a very low level of 4.55 billion bushels. The decline was the result of saying we're going to feed more wheat this summer. We're going to have more early harvested corn 2012 that will substitute for old crop corn this summer, so that feed demand really gets much weaker this summer. Still, the number is very small overall. And then in conjunction with that, USDA projecting a very large jump in feed and residual use next year, an increase of 900 million bushels, basically saying cheaper corn and a very large crop that increases the residual use of corn will account for that increase. So I think there's some of us that still believe that old crop feed demand is being understated and maybe new crop feed demand overstated, that this kind of keeps you off balance here in terms of really locking into the numbers. Also on projected exports, I think a case could be made that we'll see a larger than 200 million bushel increase in exports next year, given the size of the Argentine crop and growing demand from China. So on the consumption side, I think we're still looking for more evidence to agree with the USDA at this point. On the production side, I think USDA, by my gauge, has started pretty aggressive on yield forecast for 2012 at 166 bushels. That would be above our record yield of 164.7 just 3 years ago. And the thing I find curious is the way they got to the number. For the last several years, they've had a pattern in May. This is how we calculate yield. We look at the trend since 1990 and then adjust the trend calculation for the current year by whether the crop is being planted in a timely fashion, early or late. And so last year, for example, they used a trend yield of 1990 through 2010, and that was their then put that trend one more year, and that's their projection for 2011. This year, they did not include 2011 in the trend yield. They stuck with the 1990 through 2010 period and got a trend calculation of 164 bushels and then added 2 bushels for an early planted crop to get to the 166. I did a quick calculation. If you actually did the trend yield from 90 through 2011, you get a trend not 164, but 161.4. That 1 year of low yields in 2011 really reduces the trend projection for 2012. Now, it's not unusual when you're doing trend analysis to say we're going to throw out an outlier, a year that was abnormal and is not likely to repeat itself. But certainly 2011 was not one of those years. It was a low yield year, but certainly not what I would call an outlier. And it's still a curiosity to me why that was not included in the trend. It results in a yield forecast that's, 2 to 3 bushels higher than what I would be using at this point. Now, can we get a 166 yield? Absolutely we can. Summer weather will determine that. It's just, to me, we're starting with a pretty high projection.
Of course, the numbers that mean most are the ending stocks figures. So now we're at 851 million for this marketing year and a 1.88 billion carryout, which is a big number for the next marketing year. Do those two mileposts make sense to you, even if the numbers getting there are slightly different?
Certainly the direction is right. And on the ending stocks for next year at 1.88, that's going to hinge very much on two things. One is the size of the crop, and secondly is feed use of corn, how that really turns out. It's a higher projection than I would be using at this point, but I would still be using a pretty high number. I might be using 1.6 to 1.7 rather than a 1.88 as a projection. I wouldn't be quite as high on the yield forecast at this point. So it does say, all these nuances aside, the big picture is we're likely to see a buildup in inventories next year. And the question is, how low will that push prices? And we're looking at ratios, stocks to use, that get us back to what we had in 2007, 2008, 2009, when we were looking at 12, 13, 14% stocks to use ratio. And in that 3 year period, we averaged, just under $4 a bushel for corn as a farm level average price. So if we're looking at stocks of 1.88, then I think we've got to be thinking about prices moving back to those kind of levels during the year ahead. USDA certainly hinted at that in this report with the bottom end of their projected price range at 420 says, you know, if this balance sheet really does unfold, we'll be looking at prices, you know, considerably lower than what we've been used to the past year.
And then in contrast for old crop, they raised it 50 million bushels, but we're still looking at huge overs in the Midwest and at the Gulf for pricing old crop corn.
Well, we really are, and this has been a mystery that we've talked about time to time all year, is why is the basis so strong? You know, here in this part of the world that I follow, we're running 35 over July as the cash bid. If you look at the five-year average previous to this year, we're 25 under. So you've got a basis that's 60 cents stronger than what we would consider normal for this time of year. And the basis has continued to strengthen as we've moved through the marketing year. The argument continues to be there's plenty of corn out there. Farmers just don't want to sell it, so we have to bump the basis to get them to sell it. You know, it seems to me there may be more going on than that. It really suggests to me that we are using corn faster than the official numbers show, and that the market is really saying, if you believe the cash market rather than the futures, the cash market is really saying stocks are going to be tighter at the end of the year than what's currently being projected. So time will tell which market is correct, cash or futures, but we really do have a big discrepancy right now.
Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Darrell Good, ag economist at the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Cash grain markets now on a Thursday afternoon. Matt Bennett with TGM from Windsor, Illinois, is in the field planting soybeans this afternoon. But I know you've been paying attention to basis and USDA reports. What was your assessment today, Matt?
Well, I thought it was pretty interesting how they came up with the numbers they came up with. Whenever I looked at feed and residual usage that they are forecasting for next year, and then they trim back this year, you're almost talking a billion bushel difference. So, you know, I don't know exactly how they decide to come up with the calculations, but I know that there's a lot of questions being asked. And to stay around that 800 million, now 800 plus number, I think there were some things that had to be done that don't really make sense to me.
Might it be the biggest number of the year that we see?
I think it's going to be the biggest number of the year that we see. You know, whenever we look at the 12-13, you know, the carryout for the 12 crop coming up, I just don't think that 1.88 is something that we're probably going to see a whole lot of in the future unless we just have a phenomenal year weather-wise.
I was in the office earlier this morning. I recorded with Darrell. In fact, when you wrote him a little note, I heard that come in too. But I'm wondering from your perspective, do you agree with him that the market, cash market, is trading a wholly different number than what USDA's figures are showing?
Yeah, I believe so. You know, whenever you look, Decatur went to 60 over this week at ADM, and that's just that's a big number this time of year. You know, whenever you're out in the countryside looking at 30 to 35 over in a lot of places, which is where we're at, you know, we're usually 25 under this time of year. So, you know, to me, I don't see that there's actually plentiful stocks. And it's pretty interesting to see how they came up with that. I think that there's people trying to source corn right now that aren't sourcing it, so they're having to push their basis. So that tells me there's more going on than maybe what the USDA is letting us know.
Thanks so much for taking the time, and safe planting today.
Yep, thank you, Todd.
That's Matt Bennett. He's with TGM out of Windsor, Illinois. Back in 2 minutes with the weather forecast.
It's National Shrimp Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1773, to keep the troubled East India Company solvent, the British Parliament passed the Tea Act, taxing all tea in the American colonies. In 1818, Paul Revere died, a silversmith and American Revolutionary folk hero. He also made surgical instruments and false teeth. In 1869, the first transcontinental railroad linking the eastern and western United States was completed at Promontory Summit, Utah, with the Golden Spike. The new coast-to-coast railroad reduced a journey of 4 months or more to just 1 week. In 1918, Orville Freeman was born. A one-time senator from Minnesota, Markey became U.S. Secretary of Agriculture from 1961 through 1969. In 1934, a massive storm sent 350 million tons of topsoil flying from the parched Great Plains as far east as New York, Boston, and Atlanta. The storm forced thousands of families to migrate to California. And in 1920, John Wesley Hyatt died, a U.S. inventor. He is regarded as a pioneer of the plastics industry. He discovered the process for making celluloid. He also had a number of other inventions, including a water purification system, a sugarcane mill, and a widely used roller bearing. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
It's a Thursday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. This is the closing market report from the University of Illinois. On the phone line is agricultural meteorologist Pete Levitt. Good afternoon to you, Pete. Thank you so much for taking the time with us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, Todd. Good afternoon.
It appears that producers are in the field again today here in our part of the world. I know they were out yesterday, too, planting beans for the most part, I would think. Will they be able to continue through the weekend?
No, yes, I think through just most of next week. The only inclement weather we have is a front that's going to be slipping down from the northwest into northern Illinois late tomorrow and into Saturday and produce just a few light showers. Precipitation amounts of a quarter inch or so, that shouldn't bother anybody. And then the weather will clear out, and through much of next week, the weather is going to be rather similar. Mostly sunny days, but one or two of the days may have episodes of some mostly light shower activity through the week. Temperatures will be really close to normal, starting out a little bit cooler than normal tonight, but then warming up to a little bit above normal as we get into Sunday through the balance of the week, but averaging near normal. So an ideal week for field work, and with abundant moisture now expected in even some of those areas of the belt that have been dry, particularly in the northwest, and even more importantly, perhaps in the Canadian Prairies area, the prospect for additional rains in that portion of the belt are really rather good. Not so much this week in the western Corn Belt states, but certainly by the end of this coming week and the following week, looks like abundant precipitation, and rain makes grain, and that old saying has some merit.
It appears to be open planting season over the next week for Illinois, Indiana, a good part of the Midwest. There will be a great deal of post-emergence herbicide application that may take place. That will depend greatly a bit on temperature, but also on winds. Will they be calm over that time frame?
Yes, I don't see much in the way of very windy weather in this type of pattern. It's a lazy high-pressure area in the ridge line, fairly close to right across the middle of the Midwest, means that the pressure gradients that produce the strong winds won't be around much. I think it's probably going to be fairly favorable for that. One area that's going to get abundant rain will start in Texas today and continue on eastward right through the next 4 or 5 days, finally winding up in the Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia region by the middle of next week. And that area looks like they could get inundated down there in an area that's moisture is probably already satisfactory, except when you get toward the coast where they could use a little more. So the weather really looks quite promising all around.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us.
That's my pleasure, Todd.
And that's agricultural meteorologist Pete Levis joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. Thanks for being with us for the day. You can always pick us up off the website if you'd like later on at willag.org. And I have posted the interview with Daryl Good up at the top of the page. Look just above the opening and pre-opening market reports, and you'll see a way to click on and listen to Daryl.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at agrigoldgiants.com